For freedom, Christ has set us free. Isn't that the best phrase ever? For freedom, Christ has set us free. I just have this picture of Jesus saying, "Be free, be free." But what does it mean to be free? What does freedom really mean? Yesterday, while waiting for our plane to leave Greensboro, North Carolina, Roy and I decided to go downtown and visit the International Civil Rights Center and Museum. I didn't really remember that Greensboro was such an important place for the civil rights movement. But it was in Greensboro where four young college students, students at UNCANT, having been sent to the back of the bus their whole life, having been afraid to be in certain parts of town, having been segregated in school and many other different ways, decided to very peacefully walk into the Woolworth store, purchase a few items, which they were allowed to do, and then walk over to the counter and sit down and order something to drink. Most of you know kind of what happened. No one would serve them. And so they sat. They just sat. And when the store closed, they left. And the next day they got up and the four of them walked into Woolworths, made a purchase, sat down at the counter, and ordered something to drink. And again, they were not served. But this time, there were some cameras and some reporters, and they sat. They weren't served. The next day, they returned. Except this time, there were many more students with them. And they sat down at the counter, and they ordered something to drink, and they were not served, but they sat. Every day, the numbers who came grew, the numbers of reporters, the number of people who came just to see it grew. Word traveled. In a short period of time, there were protests all over the country, including Austin, Texas. It took some time, but they were finally served at that counter. We're not there yet. We're 56 years later, and there are still strong racial divides, but those young men made a difference. I couldn't help but wonder as I walked through that center yesterday, what did those young men hope to accomplish that day? What did freedom look like to them? Was it simply the ability to sit at a counter in Woolworths and order a cup of coffee? I don't know what they were thinking, but I'm guessing for them, being able to order a cup of coffee was really the last thing that they were that interested in. What was on their mind was all the ways over their short lives that they had been told that they were different, and that different in this case meant less than. Slavery may have been in the past, but in a sense, they were still being held captive by the world around them. Last week, our scripture reminded us that Jesus came and he walked this earth and he gave himself so that we didn't have to get caught up in laws, but instead we could live through love. That we could live through love. The kind of love that Jesus showed us every day of his ministry and of his life. That living through love instead of law, it rings again today in our scripture through the greatest of commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, as I walked through that center yesterday, I wondered just exactly how did those four young men, how could they possibly have loved themselves, much less their neighbors, as they'd been told their entire life that they weren't worthy? At least not worthy of the kind of love that others had. But somehow these four young men had enough love for themselves and for their neighbors to do something to change things, knowing that it was entirely possible that they could be arrested, or they could be beaten, or that they could be killed because of their actions. It didn't stop them. They moved forward. I believe in reading the scripture again with some fresh eyes that I began to see that being free, freedom, isn't something that just happens to us. It's not something that's handed to us. And from that moment on, we can sit back and enjoy life. Freedom, being free, is something that requires on our part a constant action. I think of times as a child when we would capture, a frog or a bug, or my brother's favorite was the horrible horny toads that they would like to capture and torture me with. But after a little while of having them in captivity, my dad would say, okay, that's enough. Set them free. And we'd take off the lid of the box or the jar, and in a New York minute, they would be gone. And they would be running for dear life to find a place where they were safe and undercover. Freedom for those creatures meant hightailing it to a place of safety. But for us, freedom means responsibility. Not to protect ourselves, but to help others, especially those being held captive, find freedom. I can't help but think about Orlando. About a group of people who were marginalized. A group of people who some say are not worthy. A group of people who are being made to feel captive and unsafe in their world. Slaves to those around them who see them as less worthy. I can't help but think about the Muslims in our world, especially in our country, who were punished because of the actions of a few. We can sit down and we can debate a lot of the issues around these subjects, and we can look at scripture and we can talk to people. I know we can spend a lot of time on any issue, but the one thing that I know without a doubt, and that is that God loves each and every one of us, every person who walks this earth, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of who we worship, regardless of who we love, regardless of how we dress or what gender we identify with, regardless of the color of our hair or what we have tattooed on our body or what's pierced, God loves everyone. And Jesus walked on this earth and gave himself for every single one of us. And taking the life of another person because of the way they look or they act or they believe is wrong. The act of violence 2 weeks ago is every bit as tragic as the act of violence that happened a year ago, when a man walked into a church and took the lives of those worshiping there. We are made free in Christ, not to be better than another person, not because we deserve more than any other person, but because we are to help spread freedom and love to everyone in this world. And that can only happen through love. Friday evening, as we gathered in worship at the CBF gathering, we gathered to commission missionaries and chaplains and new church starts. But before the commissioning ceremony began, the moderator read a letter composed by the governing council to be released about the events in Orlando. As Matt Cook, who was the moderator, described what he was about to read, I got a knot in the bottom of my stomach. I thought, oh no, what's going to happen? And how is this going to go over? As you know, Baptists almost never agree on anything. And I was worried. Here we were celebrating 25 years of being the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. We had agreed 25 years ago in the beginning that we didn't need to agree on things, that we could come together as a foundation and each person could believe their own thing, and we would not try to box ourselves together. That we could agree to disagree. We were positive that we couldn't agree on things, but we knew that if we gathered in love and kindness, we could disagree together. So the moderator began to read the letter. You could have heard a pin drop in this massive room full of people. It was a beautiful letter, and I really would like to read it to you now. The following statement was adopted by the CBF Governing Board on June 24th, 2016. The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship is a network of Baptist Christian churches and persons who come together for the purpose of doing for the kingdom of God. So CBF is not in the habit of issuing proclamations. Most of the time, it makes more sense for our churches and people to speak for themselves. There are, however, extraordinary moments in our life together when something so wonderfully good or something so unspeakably evil happens that we feel compelled to speak with a common voice. The recent mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando was so unspeakably evil that it calls for a unified response from all good people of faith. CBF stands united in our grief for the senseless and tragic loss of life resulting from this terrorist act. The callous and premeditated murder of 49 people at a gay nightclub by a zealot living out a gross distortion of Islam sends us searching for words sufficiently potent to describe its horror. And this terrorist attack came almost exactly a year after the massacre of 9 African Americans at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. These atrocities have this in common. Their perpetrators sought to terrorize an entire population of people and to call others to follow in the wake of their evil action. Violence, whether motivated by racism or religion, is an affront to the God who created each one of us in God's image and likeness. Admittedly and sadly, the church is said to be tactfully complicit in the Orlando attack because some Christians have either spoken in hateful ways about LGBTQ persons or have remained silent when other people spewed hate. No more. We stand united in our belief that every person is created in God's image and endowed with a sacred dignity that cannot be taken away. We stand united in proclaiming that God loves each person and wants all people to know God through God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is to say, God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto itself, making all of us into a single family. We stand united in condemning anyone who questions the full worth of LGBTQ persons before God or as citizens of our country. We reject any language and condemn any person who advocates violence against another person. CBF is not a like-minded fellowship about this matter related to human sexuality. Indeed, we proudly guard each other's right to think and believe as the Spirit leads. We trust that the Spirit will lead us to reason together and that our communion is stronger for our individual convictions. The value of each person's life and the worth of each and every person before our Creator are matters on which we find such abundant agreement, strong commitment, and resolute belief that we must speak when these truths are so brutally denied, as they were in Orlando and in Charleston. To fail to do so would be to deny our common humanity and the faith, love, and hope that is ours in Christ Jesus, the CBF Governing Board. Bold, powerful, honest words. In one of our services this week at CBF, Episcopal author and speaker Diana Butler Bass spoke about the 25 years of CBF and what has been accomplished. And Diana made a statement that really resonated with me. Courage and risk are the only antidotes for fear and anger. I don't know, I wasn't there February 1, 1960, but I'm pretty sure those 4 young college students had had a lifetime of anger. And I'm pretty sure that they had to be walking through the doors of the Woolworth store with a lot of fear. They stood tall with courage, and they took a risk that changed history. This week, as we remember the freedom of this country, be it still in the formation process, may we also remember the freedom given to us by God above, the responsibility of that freedom. And may we remember that freedom is not something that's dropped in our lap and that we can relax and enjoy. It requires an action on our part. May we stand with courage, and may we be willing to take a risk so that all people who are being held captive can be made free through the love of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.